to the Culture Chat hosted by WorkExo. Our mission is to upgrade work. Find out more about our Workplace Genome Project at workexo.com. And now, over to our host for today.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Culture Chat podcast, where we explore all things related to culture, and particularly figuring out how culture has such a big impact on everything we do in organizations. My name is Jamie Notter. I'm a partner at WorkExo. The lovely voice you heard introducing this podcast was our partner, Maddie. And with me is the third in the triumvirate, which is a word I've been meaning to use for a long time. Charlie Judy. What's going on, Charlie?
What's up, everybody? But I do not have a lovely voice. That is reserved strictly for Maddie.
Yes. We all have our roles in this organization.
Yes.
So today, our conversation, we do this pretty simply each time. We have a conversation with a really smart person, and today our conversation is going to focus on employer brand, which is obviously something very important to us here at WorkExo. That was really something that was driving the creation of this organization from the beginning, as Charlie can attest. So I'm excited to talk about it. We've talked a little bit about brand broadly on this podcast before, but not really dug into employer brand. So I'm excited for the conversation. Charlie, why don't you tell us what's coming up here?
Yeah, and you're right on a couple fronts. I don't know that we'll be able to touch on anything related to our genesis, but we are hyper focused on brand and its authentic connection to an authentic culture. And so I bet we'll talk a little bit about that today with Chrissy Nitzkoff, who I have just gotten to know recently, and I love her. She's one of those people who you keep hearing about. You gotta meet Chrissy, and then you finally meet Chrissy, and you're not disappointed. And then all of a sudden, Chrissy shows up wherever you go, and it's kind of like, you know, like when you see a Volkswagen bug, and then you see like 20 of them.
Yeah.
So Chrissy's kind of like that in a very good way.
And everywhere you want to be, Charlie.
That's exactly right. So Chrissy is the founder and CEO of an organization called Talent Savvy, and they're focused on a lot of things, but they have a really good strong niche in employer brand and connecting with that brand. Chrissy's got a lot of experience in a lot of things talent related, including talent development. She's got some talent acquisition behind her and cool experiences with cool organizations. So really glad to have her here. I love her voice. I love her perspective and her philosophies. And so I hope she's going to share all that with us today. And Chrissy, why don't you just start by saying hello and maybe introducing yourself or certainly anything that I may have missed.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for the very sweet introduction. I appreciate the kind words. Like you mentioned, I'm the founder and CEO of Talent Savvy. It's an organization I started about this time last year after spending 12 years on both the agency and corporate side of talent acquisition and human resources. So built my base as a recruiter, and then switched over to the corporate side of the director and then executive level, overseeing recruitment initiatives, as well as things like you mentioned talent management and employee engagement and training and all the things that come along with it. Before I started Talent Savvy, I was the head of HR and talent for a tech company. And that's when I really started to recognize the need that growing organizations have to really put some strategy behind their talent acquisition. So thus Talent Savvy was born. And now I cover anything that has to do with optimizing a talent acquisition program. So, of course, employment branding, a lot of process improvement and interview training, and getting into even the onboarding side. So what happens once this shining star of a recruit becomes an employee? We still want to treat them as intentionally and effectively as we did when they were coming through the recruitment process.
Great. Awesome. So Jamie, do you want to just tee it up and we'll get the big question going and see where we go from there?
Yes. Yeah, so Charlie already gave a little hint in his introduction about the big question. We're definitely talking about employer brand, and specifically the words he used was intentional connection. And so that's where we want to start the conversation. Our big question is basically, in what ways can employers make an intentional connection between their employer brand and their workplace culture? Mm-hmm. So what do you think, Christine?
All right. So I love this question when we're thinking about the separation or even the difference between employer brand and culture. And sometimes I see sort of that aha look come across someone's face when I say, well, it's the same thing, right? So at least it should be. When you think about employer branding, you really want to think about showing what happens internally in your organization, so the culture that exists, and promoting that externally to pass it to potential job seekers, to clients, to anybody that is interested in your organization. So when you're looking to make that intentional connection, what comes to mind for me is providing that authentic look into your organization to showcase the things that you hold very dear in terms of your values or the cool things that you're doing for your employees and with your employees, and making that known to the world.
So I like this a lot. So tell us a little bit about what you're seeing your clients do to really understand what I think you used the term, kind of what they hold dear, near and dear. How do you help organizations identify what those things are?
That's a great question. And I think when I come in sort of later in that process a little bit, so it's something where, you know, an organization has their core values, they understand what drives their employees, and they already have some really interesting and cool things that they do for their employees. So it's all about capturing that and then showcasing it appropriately. So in your example, in a situation where a company is like, we're not really sure what we stand for, what I like to do is hold interviews with hiring managers and with employees and really draw out some common trends in terms of behavior, in terms of attitudes, and in terms of action. So really capturing all that information and boiling it down to a couple common themes to understand what is it that this organization holds important and what do they want to be known for, and do their actions support that?
Mm. Well, yeah, that last piece is critical. I mean, the anecdotal version that I hear around organizations, and particularly people who get recently hired, is like, well, they told me how awesome it was, and then I showed up and it wasn't like they said it was going to be.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't awesome.
And or even if it's not even whether it's awesome or not, it's just honestly, this is not how I thought it was going to be. I thought I was going to have these kinds of responsibilities, but I don't. Or I thought we valued these things, but in fact, we kind of valued this other stuff. And so how do you coach organizations to be clearer about that in the sort of on the front end?
Mm-hmm. And you use the right word there, is coaching. Something that I find really, really important is to, again, provide that sort of authentic look. So it's allowing hiring managers and employees to feel good about being honest about what it's like in an organization. You, of course, don't want to, you know, speak entirely negatively about something, but a candidate is going to feel a little bit confused if everything they hear is this place is the most wonderful place on the face of the earth, right? You've got to be very transparent about the things that you are working on or the things that you think, you know, your places that you think your organization will never get to. Some things can be aspirational, some things can be happening currently, and some things it's like, that's just not how we are. For example, if an employee is looking for a really flexible work-life balance and the ability to work from home all the time, and the organization just doesn't support that, that's okay, but you have to be upfront with that at the beginning. Mm-hmm. So my coaching comes into play with helping hiring managers and other employees get comfortable with being honest about their current state and what they might be aspiring to get to.
Yeah, I think that's so crucial. I mean, and maybe I'm making a little bit of a leap of faith here, or maybe even a broad generalization, but it seems to me that differentiation in brand, I mean, when it comes to, and pardon the, you know, the overly used cliche of war for talent, it's a war won in inches, you know, or centimeters or millimeters. And If your brand is like everybody else's brand, if you're kind of telling the same story. I had lunch the other day with a guy who was all big on how his organization was such a great place to work, and I asked him to tell me about it, to explain it to me. And I mean, at the end of it, and I said, and it was probably the last lunch I'll ever have with the guy. that sounds like everybody else's organization. Yeah. And that's not, again, that's not, you know, that's not a dig on him. They're doing some great things, but how do you tell the story differently, and or is differentiation at all important in employer brand, Christy?
It's absolutely important. And because, you know, you've been on things like Built in Chicago or any job board you can think of, Glassdoor, whatever, and everyone's toting, or at least this time last year, they were toting, oh, we've got ping pong and we've got a keg you can drink from all the time. That doesn't define your culture. That doesn't define your employment brand. That's an item that you have in your office or an activity.
Right.
That's not really what drives you as an organization. So I think you do have to differentiate, and you do have to really impress upon your employees and hiring managers, okay, one of our core values is transparency. What does that mean for us? And it's having those conversations at the executive level. It's having those conversations at the department head level, and it's having those conversations internally at a staff level, because that's going to help your employees shape their actions, whether that's talking to a client, working with a coworker, or connecting with someone via an interview.
Yeah. And I'm probably going to sound like a broken record on this podcast around this point, but the piece around what does this mean for us, I think implies or has within that, the, what does this mean for our success? Mm-hmm. Like, how does this drive our success? I don't care if you're transparent or opaque. Show me why we succeed more when we are one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And if that conversation happens, as you say, at the executive level, at the manager level, at the employee level, if people are telling even relatively similar stories, not even the same story, but at least in the same ballpark around that, and connect it to what makes people successful, that'll attract the right people. And then if they deliver that, I mean, and people are like, wow, this is just what I thought it was going to be, and I'm more successful. I think that's where it all comes together.
Yeah, because it should be a matching process, especially in this market. There's tons of opportunities available, in my opinion, at least in professional services organizations. There's way more jobs than there are people. Mm. And so candidates really have the option to make a very intentional decision when they are selecting a new opportunity. And the more information that you can provide about your organization, the more honest information you can provide, the better match you're going to have. So it really benefits everybody. Because to the earlier point you guys brought up, what's worse than, you know, I don't want to use the word tricking, but, you know, presenting something in a different way than different than reality, and then having someone join and then 6 weeks in being like, this is not what I signed on for. Mm-hmm. You can really mitigate a lot of that risk by being more open and upfront through your employment brand before they even step foot as an employee.
So I want to talk a little bit more about this word intention, which I think is so important in the workplace, and we won't get into a game of semantics here, but I think every organization, or let's just say most organizations, have the best of intentions. But being intentional requires a little bit more. There's some deliberation there. There's some commitment. There's some dedication. There's some methodology. At least that's how I would define it. And, you know, I think back in my career as an HR exec, if we had put as much effort, we collectively, the organizations, et cetera, would have put as much effort into taking care of the brand as we did, you know, selling the product or balancing the books or billing our clients. I mean, think of how much more effective we could have been. So talk a little bit about what intention means to you when it comes to employer brand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great point. So when I think of intentional employer brand, I think of educating. I think of educating every single person in your organization about how to speak about your company, about how to speak about your mission and values and your organization in general, and what the parameters are, right? So a lot of the work that I do when I go into a client for employer branding is coaching the hiring managers and coaching anybody that has to, that's going to participate in an interview to understand how is it that we speak about the work we do here. And that extends beyond just an interview. That extends to, you know, ideally you're having employees post things on social media about what it's like to work for your company. What sort of messages are we looking for? Give them some framework. They're going to get creative. You don't have to say, post these exact words.
Right.
You can give them some sort of idea or parameters. They'll play within it. They understand that they are helping to move the company forward, helping to elevate the brand. So you can be intentional with your training without being too rigid or directional. It's more about setting the right parameters.
Yeah. I mean, I think what I hear in that is, and we talk about this all the time, like in terms of culture around experimentation, like creating boundaries, like create a little sandbox and let people know that those are the edges and you can do what you need to do inside. But around this word intentional, for me, it's about making that laser-like connection between the principle and the action. Right. So the principles are, hey, it's like, so you're not saying you must describe our, you, when they ask, you must say this, or you must describe us, always use positive tone. Like, that's not it. It's like, hey, we've figured out what our brand is. It's these key ideas. So here's some examples. When you're talking to a candidate, you're going to be talking about in these areas. People are like, oh, I get it. I get the intention. And then I figure out my own action based on that. But making that connection between that principle and the behavior is, I think, where it comes out.
Yeah, exactly right. And when you think about being intentional, to your point, it's not a saying, here's your script, but it's also beyond just explaining the parameters. It's explaining, of course, the why behind it. This is not some like way for us to skirt around paying someone to do this sort of branding work. It's including you in the conversation. You're doing really cool things, and don't you want to tell the world about it? And making it feel very inclusive.
What are you seeing, Christy, if anything, around organizations who intentionally look to the outside market to inform their employer brand? So, said differently, I mean, I would think that recruits or candidates, viable candidates, those that are really interested in your organization, have something to say about your brand. Do you know anything about how organizations are capturing that perspective, if at all?
It's an interesting one. The first thing that comes to mind is Glassdoor, because I think that's the most obvious choice. I don't think they're out there. A lot of companies aren't out there asking for that feedback, but they certainly are getting it. So I think that there, again, is a way to shape that, though. One, it's to provide an amazing candidate experience, and there are certainly ways you can work towards making that as ideal as possible. And then once you have that ideal candidate experience, or let me step back, while you're working your way to there, you're getting feedback from candidates. What was your interview like? What could we have done to improve? What did you love about it? And then once you feel like you've really nailed it and you've got this thing down to a science, it's being much more intentional, use that word again, about asking for that feedback. I am like not above following up with the candidate right after you give them an offer to say, we can't wait to have you on board. We're going to send you tons of things to review about our organization before your first day. In the meantime, we would love it if you leave some feedback for us on Glassdoor about your interview experience.
So you're actually inviting
them. Of course, I mean, they're like so fired up. They just accepted an amazing opportunity. They're much more likely to leave positive feedback when you ask it in that way and with that message.
But that's intentional, right? I mean, you've told them what you'd like for them to do. You know why it's important for them to do it. You could even tell them why it's important for them to do it. It's like we talk about employee referrals all the time. And our employee referral program just doesn't work. I always say, when's the last time you actually picked up the phone and called an employee and asked for a referral? You know, I mean, don't just throw a program out there. Get intentional about it. I mean, it's just, it's like we know it needs to happen. Why aren't we doing it?
Yeah. No, it's very true. How do your employees know what positions are open? Do you alert them? Do you point them to your current vacancies? I know when I was on the corporate side, and this is something I coach my clients to do even now, every 2 weeks, you should send out a fun, sort of catchy email with something that is going to entice your employees to open it because they want to see what you have to say, but you are including all of your open opportunities. And this is not a novel. This is like something with memes and like funny links or whatever, some sort of relevant reference to what's happening that weekend. And then you're saying, by the way, while you're enjoying your St. Patrick's Day celebration, make sure to keep in mind our open opportunities in case you happen to be sharing a whiskey shot with someone who does data science or something.
Right. Because who doesn't do shots with data scientists?
So I mean, right? That is a
good point. And if you don't, we highly recommend you do.
Really?
Exactly. Make this your mission.
So just a minute or two on a couple things, and we're kind of getting close to the 25-minute mark here, which is typically the kind of the guideline for us. I always reflect on any kind of lofty conversation around the workplace on those organizations that are not as fortunate to have every resource under the sun, who, you know, don't get a marketing person that's dedicated to employer brand, that don't even have more than one HR person. And, you know, I mean, are there some kind of easy, and I'm kind of putting you on the spot here, but are there some kind of easy tips and tricks of the trade that, you know, kind of the lower resourced org can do to get intentional about employer brand?
Absolutely. And I love that you asked that because, you know, a lot of times that's not a budget that's thought about because it's still sort of this new area when you're thinking about budgeting and allocating resources and ROI and all of that stuff. So the best advice that I can give to someone in that situation is just start now. And that can be something as simple as working with your marketing team to say, hey, once a week, we'd like to sprinkle in information about a job that we have. And we're not just going to say we're hiring for an accountant. We're going to post a picture of the accounting team. And then we're going to tweet over that and say, wouldn't you like to join this amazing group of analysts or whatever. Something simple, right? It doesn't have to be a complete overhaul. You can literally start today by capturing those sort of moments. Start capturing in pictures or in videos cool things that are already happening. Did you have a great town hall meeting today with your CEO? Where's the picture from that? Mm-hmm. Get that posted on your social media feed. Get that posted on your Facebook page. Maybe work with your IT department to get some of that information onto your careers page. Anything that you can do to provide that insight into your organization. And to your point, Charlie, I work with companies that they don't have a marketing department. They only have one HR person, but there are people inside that organization that like social media. So if you can engage that group of people to say, hey, we're starting this task force and we're going to meet twice a month to talk about social media as relates to our employer brand, or to, if you don't want to phrase it that way, you can say to showcase things that are happening internally in the external world. People will get behind that, especially the younger workers that are so used to capturing that information on a daily basis. Now it's putting some intention behind it and looking into your employer brand.
Cool. Yeah, you heard it here first, folks. Social media is not actually a fad. It actually has some use. You can actually use it intentionally and clearly and generate results. Isn't that amazing? I didn't realize that.
I love the just start now. I mean, I think that is so powerful. And is applicable in so many places. Like stop trying to figure out what the end game looks like and just start taking some steps.
Yeah.
Now there's a whole nother podcast around what are the potential barriers and obstacles to just taking those steps, which we know are often outside of the control of, you know, the individual, but I love it. I think there's small ways to make a difference, and you've just encouraged a lot of people to do that, I'm sure, Christy. So thanks for sharing that.
Yeah,
have you filled out your NCAA bracket yet, Christy? Are you?
So, you know, I'm actually headed to Vegas a week from tomorrow, specifically for the tournament, with some college roommates and our significant others. I'm a graduate from Indiana University, and unfortunately, we are not in the brackets.
Not in the brackets this year, no.
But I'm still going to fill one out.
All right, well, Charlie was just looking for tips. That was totally so.
Yeah, I'm about half. I'm halfway through it. Jamie and Maddie and I had our stand up this morning, and it is the one thing that's inhibiting me today is that I got to get this bracket done. So
the to-do list never stops.
That is right. All right, Jamie, shut this thing down.
Yes,
would you?
That's going to wrap up the March Madness edition of the Culture Chat podcast. But Christy, thanks for joining us. We really appreciated the conversation.
Thanks for having me.
This is really good stuff. And thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks, everyone, for subscribing. You can find us on iTunes and Podbean. Please, if you liked this episode, share it around social media because I just let you know it's not a fad. You should actually be using that. And thanks again. We will see you all next time on the next edition of the Culture Chat podcast.
And that was the Culture Chat today. We'll have some highlights up on the blog soon. Find out more about WorkXO and how to map your workplace genome at workxo.com.